Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, some verses from there, and it's a story that you will probably recognize. And he said, and it's Jesus talking, telling a parable, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. The younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father." And he arose, came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Many of us will remember the daredevil stunt performer Evel Knievel and his failed motorcycle jump over the 1,700-foot wide Snake River Canyon in Idaho years ago. Whether we remember that moment or not, or other stunts that he attempted, you'd have to go a long way to find someone who ever came off more abysmal failures better than he did. Millions of spectators were captivated by him through the years as he performed daring stunt after daring stunt, some successful, some not. But there's a truth in that Idaho Canyon jump, which we should capture and cultivate for our lives. There's a truth for life rooted there to pursue for our lives. Teddy Roosevelt shared the truth years earlier when he said, "It is far better," President Roosevelt said, "to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy much nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat." Perfect. Perfectly said. But you and I know that way too often we fall short, we fail, mess up, and end up at the bottom of a canyon. And the cumulative weight and emotional effect of too many defeats, too many bad decisions or rejections causes us to just want to sit, stop, give in, and give up. No more daring mighty things. Accept things as they are. No movement at the crossroads. We're at a fork in the road. We're going to stay there. No more big dreams. Instead, as President Roosevelt says, we end up just sitting in that gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat, going nowhere. We can all be grateful for some of those who didn't do that, who dared to do mighty things for our nation by standing in the gap for you and for me. All those we honor and pause to recognize and thank on Veterans Day this Friday. And we should thank every day of the year, throughout the year. Like them and all they stood for and still stand for today, we were created to be all we can be, the best we can be, to also have an impact for good. So then, where do we look to find the assurance and the confidence to dare to do mighty things, to go, to move forward, to dream dreams, to stand in the gap for others, to be all we were created to be, overcoming gaping canyons and rising mountains looming before us despite past failures, despite disappointments and defeats in our lives, to find healing and hope again when we come up short? Where do we look to be healed and restored to wholeness with a renewed sense of who we are and find the courage to step out boldly once again into the life that we have remaining, no matter how much time is left? All the authors of all the self-help books published throughout the years call on us to pick ourselves up and move on. But there's only one author of one book, while calling us back from the bottom of the canyons we have crashed in, who can also restore us to wholeness, heal us, transform us, and lift us out of the gray twilight to a higher level, beyond our failures, and into all the fullness of life that we are intended to live and to enjoy. And it is the one depicted in the story that we just read a portion of earlier, which is referred to, as you know, as the story of the prodigal son. Maybe it's more appropriate to call it the parable of the loving father, for it tells us more about a father's love than it does a son's failures. You know the story. You knew it before I read it. The younger son asked for his share of his father's property, which the father gave him. He soon ran through his inheritance and found himself feeding pigs in a pig pen. He had hit rock bottom. He was in the pig pen. But then the scripture says that he came to his senses, or came back to himself, and decided to go home and plead to his father to be taken back. Through all of his failures and fearing rejection when he returned, there was still something inside him which caused him to pick himself up out of the pig pen, turn back, and begin the journey home. And out of that moment of total despair, with nowhere else to turn, he would soon experience hope for the rest of his life. He didn't feel worthy to be called a son, so his plan was to simply plead with his father to take him back as a hired servant, not a member of the family. And if his father would do that, that would be great. But what happens as he approaches home? What happens? The scripture says, but while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father must have been watching for his son to come home, for while he was a long way off, he saw him and ran to him. And he called for the best robe to be put on him, and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, all symbols of honor, restoring him as the father's son. Nice story, right? Really is. Nice story. But in our real world, the one that you live in and that I live in today, how does God our Father respond to us when we fail? Where do we find hope? In the pig pens of our lives, pig pens we ourselves may have created. Maybe we've never hit rock bottom like that son. Good. Good. But maybe we felt like it, or it seemed like it at times. We lost a job. An investment went bad. We throw interceptions. We strike out. We trip and fall to temptations before us. We don't know which way to turn. We struggle with a decision looming before us day after day after day. Where do we find hope then? My friends, we find it in a God who treats us the same way as that father treated his son in that story. When we fail, when we are at the lowest point of our lives, restoration, transformation, and ultimately true success in our lives comes when we come to ourselves and turn toward home, back to the Father, back to where we will be our best with Him, and where we have the courage to dare to be our best with Him. And like that son, when we do, we are met by our God, who runs to us, throws his arms around us, forgives us without judgment or lectures, and restores us to our rightful place as his child. As you think back in your life, can't you remember difficult moments where God got you through? Times where you sensed his peace? That is the God we should want to know better. That is the Father from whom we can find hope to overcome whatever we face in life, and strength and courage to move on into the rest of our life, to be all that he created us to be. There's an interesting and eternal footnote written on the last pages of Evel Knievel's life. On April 1st, 2007, just months before his death, and what was that, 15 years ago, suffering from lung and liver disease, and with back pain from the traumas of his daredevil days, now requiring a morphine drip implant for pain, he appeared with Robert Schuller on his Sunday morning worship service that was on for years, entitled The Hour of Power, an encouragement for so many, including me, in the early walk of my faith. And Evel Knievel announced that he had just accepted and believed in Jesus as his Savior and Lord. At Evel Knievel's request, Dr. Schuller baptized him right there and then at the Crystal Cathedral, an eternal moment viewed by millions, which inspired a flood of baptisms to follow in the months ahead at the Crystal Cathedral. In the midst of pain and suffering, Evel Knievel turned to God and was received in God's open, waiting arms. Our loving God, my friends, does the very same thing for us, receiving, redeeming, restoring, and walking with us here and eternally. And no matter where we find ourselves, no matter how many times we have fallen or failed, in his arms, we can dare to become our best, find hope and our ultimate victory through that eternal relationship with him as his beloved children. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this reminder. Great story. Nice story, but you know what? It applies to us. That's our Father, God, who loves us and stands there waiting for us to turn to him, to walk with him, to run with him, to be all that he created us to be, to move past forks in our road, decisions we need to make, and to live the life that he intended us to live. Thank you, Lord, for that reminder. Thank you for all that you do for us, poking us regularly to help us to move past things that are in front of us so that we can continue to be and dare to be the best that we can be with you. Be with all those today who go to vote, that they might turn back. We might turn back as a nation, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn toward me. I will forgive them and heal their land. Help us to do that as a nation. Be with all those traveling today, Lord. Keep them safe. Angels on the wingtips are playing around their cars as they go. Just thanks for loving us. Son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.